As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of The Athletic Podcast Network. Or theathletic.com/downtodunk to get The Athletic for 30% off. I'm here with Alex Spears. Alex, what's up?
Hey, what's hey. Up? What's up?
How we are, what are we like?
We are now sponsored by Bally Sports.
We're all sponsored by Bally Sports, where this could cut off at any time.
And that's a perk. That's a and good that's, thing.
That's what you get. That's what you get, Thunder that's fans. What that's want. What you get. So what you want is to not watch things. So, you know, if this podcast or anything just completely cuts off at any point, just know that we are brought to you by Bally Sports. So I think we're like 18 or 19 days away from the live pod.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Game that we are going to have at the Thunder Arena. So the Thunder play the Heat. It's a Monday night, November 15th. You can still buy tickets to this event and attend it. Now the live pod before is the guaranteed spots are sold out. You can still show up. I would get there early. If you want to make it, it's at the Tap House just right across the street from the arena. So here's how the night will go. If you have a ticket, you'll come to the live show. We'll do a live podcast, probably about 45-minute show with the whole Fry Pod crew plus Al. And then we will go walk across the street together, go to the game, and then we will go on the court after the game to take a group photo and to do our half-court shot competition. So you got to buy a ticket. It's going to be so fun, especially knowing that this team isn't going to play like they did against Houston for the whole season. It's going to be great. I've been to the all the home games so far, and it's honestly been really, really fun. They've been a really fun team to watch live. So come check that out with us on November 15th. If you want tickets, go to the Down to Dunk Twitter page. It's the pinned tweet for the link. Again, if you need the link and you can't access it on Twitter, email me, dtdpodcast@gmail.com, and I'll hook you up. So, all right, Al. The Thunder are winless. One of two winless teams, including the Detroit Pistons. And something to celebrate, right?
No, Andrew. It's good that they're positioned where they should be, but if all these four games had been like the Houston game, I would say no, it's not worth celebrating.
Yeah.
We need to have something other than losing to look forward to. And luckily, these last two games have provided that. They finally started looking and playing like a real NBA team, and it's a bummer that Houston game even happened, because I listened to the Low Post yesterday, I listened to the Mismatch yesterday. It's like every national NBA pod has to take 30 seconds out to make sure that everyone knows how disgusting Oklahoma City is. They all are doing it right now. And it's all because of that one stupid game. If that game didn't happen, like if you look at, I mean, I still think this team is better than Orlando. And I think that Detroit's looked way worse. Like, if you look at Detroit, and it's because Cade's not in there, but if you look at Detroit and you're a Detroit fan, like, what are you excited about right now? It's like Sadiq Bey, end of story. That's it. That's all you really have exciting right now. You're watching Kelly Olynyk put up like 19 points in a game.
You know what's happening? You know what's happening in Detroit is exactly what happened in OKC Summer League, where the best player's out.
Yeah.
Things are feeling hopeless.
But
whenever Cade comes back, things will be so much better for them. See Cade play.
But at the same time, like, OKC has so much more young depth in comparison to Detroit. Like, so many more guys to evaluate in comparison to the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, the idea that OKC is, like, completely unwatchable, it's all based on that one game, because they have looked good. And last night they looked, like, legitimately, like, oh, this team's easily going to win, like, around 20 games. If they play like that, they're winning around 20 games.
Yeah. Yeah. The 19 game prediction that I made, I mean, almost everybody that I've done a podcast with has predicted between 19 and like 23 wins. And that feels about right.
Well, you know? It does. But then you had, you know, Hollinger with 13. And then on the low post yesterday, Zach said he thought they could challenge for 9-73, which I thought was just like the dumbest thing. Because all you had to do was watch that Sixers game to see, like, oh, okay, this team is going to get it together. Like, they're probably going to beat some good teams. They're probably more likely to beat some good teams than, like, the mediocre teams, because some of these good teams are going to come in and just play down to them, and they'll just kind of outwork them.
Like tonight, really?
Like tonight, yeah.
They play the Lakers tonight in OKC. The Lakers went into overtime. AD could be out. They went into overtime. I mean, I would be surprised if LeBron played. I mean, LeBron doesn't like playing in Oklahoma City, period. You know, that he just doesn't play here very much. And, you know, I feel like he could, you know, really sit this one out. You know, and you talk about predicting that they win 9 games. You know, Philly in 15-16 won 10 games.
Right.
Who is the best player on that team?
I know, like, that's why it's so ridiculous. That's why points. And I get it, because that Houston game, I mean, we think Houston's probably going to win like 25 or less games. So for them to lose by 30, I get why everyone freaked out, including myself, because I was like, this is terrible. If this is what I'm watching all year, this is going to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
But everything since then has just made you feel so much better.
Can you name the top 3 in scoring on that Sixers team?
Jahlil Okafor.
Number one. Jahlil Okafor was 17-7.
Noel, Nerlens?
Nerlens was fourth with 11 points.
McConnell? TJ?
TJ McConnell was 11th at 6 points per game.
Covington?
Covington was 3. Yes.
Yes!
12.8 points per game. One left. He's a point guard. He's a journeyman, and he's super, super fast.
Ish Smith
on that 10-win team, Alex. Let me read you his line in the 50 games he played. 14.7 points, 7 assists, 4.3 boards, and 1 steal per game. Unbelievable. It's like the ultimate, someone has to score the points, someone has to get the stats.
And remember, that was the season when Hinkie refused to sign a real point guard, went into the season with Isaiah Cannon, and they basically had to bring on Ish Smith at direction of the league because they were so bad. And honestly, after that Houston game, I was getting worried about that. Like, was Presti's, like, neglect of the center position going to lead this team down a road where they couldn't even function like a team? Mm-hmm. But in the last two games, and we saw it last night with JRE, who I would argue is the best center option available for this team. Like, forget about wins, losses, just in terms of fit. Because, I mean, we don't care about wins, losses at this point. But you compare him to Muscala, Roby, Favors. I think he's the best passer. He's the best, like, connector. Like, he knows where to be on the court. He is probably the second best shooter behind Muscala.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he might be the best defender, or at least second best defender. I mean, if you want to give it to Favors, but I think he's more versatile defensively than Favors.
He's faster. And like the thing is, like, he's certainly stronger than Roby.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, he's great. One more thing on the Sixers team. There were four players that played for the Thunder that were on that Sixers team.
Well, Jeremy Grant was probably on there.
Wild to me. Yeah, it's Ish Smith, Nerlens Noel, Isaiah Cannon, Jeremy Grant.
Man, I don't even remember the Isaiah Cannon Thunder era. When was that?
It was very short. It was very short. But he was on the Thunder for, like, maybe it was just training camp. Yeah, he didn't ever play a game for the Thunder. But he was on, like, their training camp roster, I think. Still pretty wild. Okay. First off, with Jeremiah Robinson Earl, we have to figure out what we're going to call him.
Why? Well, I didn't even know there was more than one option.
Well, I just feel like JRE is just really hard to say.
Why?
Easy to type, harder to say. Everybody on the team calls him J-Rob.
J-Rob.
Which is a lot easier to say.
Man, I feel like JRE, that player, has a much higher ceiling than a player with the nickname J-Rob.
What does that mean?
J-Rob sounds like some guy you just, like, meet at the Y and play some pickup games with. JRE sounds like a real player.
I disagree. It's just too hard to say for me. I feel like if I try to say it fast, I'm just saying Jerry.
Jerry. I prefer it. So you like J-Rob?
I like J-Rob. I called him J-Rob to somebody last night during the press conference. So I guess that's just what I go with now. I didn't even mean to say it. In my head, I was like going through the Rolodex, like it felt like roulette of what I'm gonna say, you know, for like JRE,
yeah,
Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Jeremiah, J Rob, and I just landed on just J Rob, just splurted out of my mouth, you know, like that's what it was.
What about Jerry?
So, I've discussed this on the Dream Team show with Brandon. Brandon likes Jerry. He's the only one that likes Jerry, and we refuse to let him call him Jerry.
So does he, it sounds like he responds to J-Rob, like at least from his teammates.
He does. Yeah. That's what Mark calls him. I said it to Shay is who I said it to. And he knew exactly what I was talking about.
Well, I mean, if that's what he wants to be called, we got to call him that.
Yeah.
But I do think Jerry looks cool.
Yeah. You can do whatever you want. I just have to figure out. I just have to just set the course for myself as for what I'm going to say, what I'm going to call him.
But yeah, don't you feel like he fits the best? I mean, Muscala, I think, and honestly, it's been Muscala and Jerry, J-Rob, whatever, who have changed the course of this team after two games. Because Muscala in game three, yeah, and then J-Rob in game four, like they completely changed what this offense looks like with their spacing.
Mm-hmm.
They made it so much easier for Shea, so much easier for Giddy. We're finally seeing the Shea of last season. We're seeing the best version of Giddy that we could get this early in his career. And I think it's because of those centers. And so I hope that that is the plan moving forward. I mean, like, Roby got 2 minutes last night, didn't play in the Roby Sixers game, and I'm fine with it.
I'm great with it. Because there are better options. And it felt a little bit like during that Houston game, it was like, okay, we're bad enough, we can play Muscala, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
you can unlock that. You can unlock that because we're not good enough. Like, we're totally bad enough for Mike Muscala to play and not win games.
That has honestly been probably my biggest takeaway from the early season, which was not the takeaway last year. Remember, the takeaway last year was like, oh, wow, we actually need to do things in order to get a bad enough record.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I feel like you could play the best players on this team, the absolute best. You could keep it to a tight 8-man rotation, throw in Ty Jerome in there, and I still feel like 30 would be like the absolute ceiling of this team in terms of wins. And they're already not playing Ty Jerome. They're already playing Favors sparingly. So, like, I am not worried about wins, losses at all.
Yeah.
Like, you will not see me post a tank gif because I don't even think you have to worry about it. I think the more, in fact, the reason why I was a little upset earlier in the season about getting back into the swing of things with like pro tanking mm-hmm. is because I feel like we're some Thunder fans are falling into the same trap that we did last year, where like we're already doing photoshops of Cade. Now we're already doing photoshops of Chet and Paolo. Like, what did we not learn last year, Andrew, that losing, you could lose all 82 games and there's mm-hmm. a 50% chance that you're going to end up at the number 5 pick. Like, that's mm-hmm. all we talked about last year. We mm-hmm. saw our own team fall to pick mm-hmm. 6 last year. Like, that's why this season cannot just be about losses for me, and why the development that we've seen in the last two games, I think, is so important. There has to be something more to this team than just losses.
Yeah. That's where they kind of differ from that Sixers process, is that there is definite intentionality behind development for these guys. It's not just let's throw whatever at the wall and if it sticks, great. If it doesn't, who cares? Like, we're only about the draft picks only.
Right.
That's certainly not the case. And I really liked the starting lineup last night, which was Shea, Giddey, Dort, Bazley, and J-Rob.
Yeah, I keep that going forward.
Yeah, I think that really works. I think they're going to work favors in here and there. I think they're going to play different centers moving forward. I think that's just going to be the way it is. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Favors got the start tonight. And
I don't love that. Make sense. Like, play him against DeAndre Jordan, whatever. Like,
yeah, I just want to, like, if they want to have J-Rob as like one of their bigs moving forward, period, like, let's just get him reps against everybody. It's kind of how I feel, you know. Like, yeah. what are the reps with Favors going to do for anybody? Because I like, Favors just clogs up the lane. Like, I feel like every bad start that they've had, you know, and the bad starts that Shea has had has been when Favors is clogging up the lane, you know, because he's not like a vertical spacer. I don't feel like he's that helpful to them on offense.
And that's the huge difference from last season, because like, Horford made the offense significantly better.
Yeah.
Even Moses Brown with his rim protection helped the team be better, like when Shea was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
With Favors, like, I have no worries in terms of making this team too good. He is not too good to tank.
No, he's not. He is adequate to tank. Is what he
perfectly
is.
Acceptable to tank.
Yeah, last night was so fun, though. The environment in the arena was so much fun. You know, once they really got going, there, like, the arena was really loud, and it wasn't full. I hope that tonight's all the way full, like, with Westbrook returning and everything.
It probably will be. I switched over to the Spurs game last night, and I was like, wow, the Spurs are really packing them in for like game 3 or whatever. And then you realize it's like half Lakers fans when they start cheering.
Dude, even last night, tons of Warriors fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard them. Like, especially when like calls would go against the Warriors, you'd hear like and it'd be like, what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of Warriors fans. When they did like the starting lineup, the cheers for Steph were pretty crazy. And like, Steph warming up before the game,
yeah,
people were cheering when he made shots in warm-ups. Yeah. I have a video. I'll have to send it to you because it's just funny. Like, people love Steph. They really do. And you know, there were a lot of Steph jerseys in the crowd last night, but that's just kind of how rebuilds are. That's how it was the first year that the Thunder were here. Like, especially when like the Lakers or anybody big came, it was like all jerseys for those other guys. I did, however, see some Josh Giddey jerseys in the house last night. And when the Thunder got it going, it was way louder than it was like for the Warriors when the Warriors had it going. So like, it wasn't like, it was maybe like 70-30.
Now, tonight legit might be 50-50 because it's not only the Lakers but also Russ.
Yeah. Yeah. It very well could be. And I mean, as long as you're packing the house, like, who really cares? You know?
I don't actually care.
And especially with Russ, like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, pay homage to him. But yeah, the game overall was really great. Shea finally got it going. Like, that was his first, you know, really efficient it looked like Shea was back game. He had 30 points on 19 shots. He was 4 or 5 from three. I thought he was great. The only thing is that I would have liked to see him get to the free throw line a little bit more. He only shot 5 free throws, but still not bad. And then Josh Giddey had a rough shooting night. He was 7 points on 10 shots, but had 9 boards, 4 assists, a steal. I still thought he was helpful and productive for them, and play 27 minutes. Like, that's great. Like, play him that or more. You know, I thought the minutes distribution overall was way better last night than it had been, because like, you get Poku off the bench with 18 minutes, who played good minutes. I mean, he took 7 shots in those 18 minutes. He had 9 points, 4 boards, an assist, a steal. That's great. That was great. I thought it was really some really productive minutes for him. And, you know, I would eventually like to see him start over Darius Bazley just to see what it looks like. Because, I mean, Bazley, when he shoots the 3 ball, it doesn't feel like there's any confidence around the entire building that it's going to go in. You know, even coming from him, like when the ball leaves his fingertips, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of confidence that ball is going in. Oh, Al's gone. And I think that's it's been a problem. And if he's not able to hit threes, I think that, you know, you might as well just try Poku, because Poku can be a connective tissue type of player too, more than Bazley. Although Bazley had a nice pass, a nice little pocket pass to JRE for the first points of the game, which was nice. But you just don't, that's more flashes than anything. Miguel Davila mentions the Poku step back, which was great. James Anderson says that 27 minutes for Giddey is not enough. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree that it's not enough, but compared to, like, I mean, was it in Houston that he played 20 minutes? Like, that was, I mean, that was just not great. James, who also mentioned that Duarte playing 39 minutes per game, that Giddey shouldn't be 8th in minutes among rookies. Yeah, I get it. And at some point, I'd have to trust that Mark knows what he's doing with, like, the conditioning of these guys. I mean, this is a long season. If you want to get this 19-year-old through the whole season, I mean, Duarte's 23, 24. Like, he's probably in better physical condition to get through the season. And also, like, the Pacers are straight up trying to win games, and Duarte's been their best wing, like, flat out been their best wing. And the Thunder are still working on development for a lot of these guys. The only thing that I'm just beginning to just wonder about is just Théo Maledon and how he has been playing. I just don't really love what he's brought to the table so far this season. He's had some nice moments. He only hit 1 of 5 shots last night. He was 1 of 5 from three. Those were the only shots that he took, which I like. Like, I like that he is only taking threes. But I just don't know that Théo is the answer there. And I just wonder if at some point, just like I said with Bazley and Poku, I just wonder if there's just a moment where Trey Mann flips into that spot. Because Trey has a definable skill. And the definable skill is his shot making. And to me, I would like to see Trey Mann over Maledon. And this is something that we discussed on Monday. We'll probably be discussing it for weeks to come. But Al, you have feelings about Théo and his role on this team?
I definitely saw the tweets. I don't know. I've gotten to the point where I think I finally believe what Daigneault's been telling us this entire time, which is that they're literally going to try every possible combination that they can.
Definitely.
And that there will be no set rotation throughout probably a significant part of this early season, maybe even into the end season. So, because they said that last year too. They were like, this is a year of discovery or whatever. But then, you know, a few games in, like, we had a rotation that we could
we
kind of
discovered.
Expect.
We had discovered everything. Five
yeah, they
in.
Discovered it yeah. pretty quick. It really seems like there are going to be games where Trey Mann might play 30 minutes and there are going to be games where he plays 9 minutes. And yeah, it's weird from the outside, but if they really are trying to give all of these guys an opportunity, that's probably just going to be how it is. So yeah, I didn't love it. I would like to see more Trey Mann over someone like Teo, but they clearly still want to see what they have in Teo. And I don't know how you do it otherwise. Unless you want to send them down to the G League, which they maybe will with one or both of those guys.
Yeah. I think they'll use the G League a lot. And they have the benefit of having the G League affiliate playing in the exact same building.
Right.
There's going to be lots of 11 o'clock tips for the Blue this year. And I need to research this. I don't know if this is true. I was asking somebody last night. We would have guessed that it would have happened, but we don't know if it happened. If a guy has played in both a G League and an NBA game in the same day before, which could very well happen with this Thunder roster. Yeah. And Trey Mann to me is like the candidate for that.
Yeah, I think that would make sense. And yeah, I guess I just believe Daigneault at this point. Like they're going to try every possible combination we can think of. And it's probably going to be frustrating because we want to see all the rookies because we feel like we've seen plenty of Teo at this point.
Right. But, we've seen enough. We've had enough.
Like, I get it. You know, it's not that we don't think that, you know, he has a chance or whatever. It's just like, I get it. I've seen it. Let's see what Trey Mann does. But it's not going to be like that. I mean, it's going to, like, the centers are going to rotate. I mean, maybe we'll have like a 9-man rotation by like February, maybe after the trade deadline that we feel.
I don't even know about that. I just don't think so, because I do think that they want to see what Aaron Wiggins looks like against pros.
Yeah. You know,
and I do think they want to see what Vit Krejci looks like against pros. They sent Vit back to the G League again. It's funny because they sent him down and he just practiced. He's just been getting practice time with the Blue.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they even playing games yet?
No, they're not playing games. They're sending him down there to practice. My guess is that they'll recall Vit again.
Yeah.
Beat again tonight. So just he's going to have that, like, G League log sheet like so long by the end of the season where it's like sent back and forth. But I'd like to see him. You know, I'd like to see what those guys do. I think there will be a time where we'll see Ty Jerome again, you know, in the rotation. I think you're right. And I just want to see Trey Mann for an extended run. Like, I want to see him get the 23 minutes and 55 seconds that Teo got.
Yeah.
Just to see what it looks like. Because there was a shot, I can't remember who it was on against the... No, it was against Bielitsa, where he created so much space, and not like Bielitsa's like... It's not like he's like Draymond Green or somebody. But still, the space that he created on his step back, like mid-range step back, was really impressive. And something that really the only other guy on the team that can do that is Shea. And so it's just like, okay, like, wow, like that was impressive. Like that one play was more impressive than anything Teo did last night, period. So it's just, you just want to see more of that. And I think we will see more of it. I mean, I did a podcast yesterday about Poku where it was like, do you think he's ever going to play this amount of minutes? And it felt like no, but then he did, you know? So, and I just think this is all kind of part of the plan. I think they have their core guys. And I think the core guys are Shea, Dort, and Giddey. And I think those guys are going to get the minutes. And then you have this group of guys. I think you can throw Bazley into it. I think you throw J-Rob into it. Teo, Poku, Trey Mann. Like, those are all these young guys that you just don't really know what they are yet. And what they're going to be, and if they're going to be a part of the big picture. And I think they're trying to figure that out. And I think you're going to see their minutes fluctuate. I mean, you saw Baisley and Poku basically get the same amount of minutes last night, which I think is about right. Because, I mean, in 3 years, who would you bet on is going to have a better 3 years in the league, Poku or Baisley? If you could fast forward and say, oh man, it's definitely this guy. Like, who would you bet on?
If I would just, please don't make me bet. I would beg.
You
would
have beg to. $100, gun to your head.
I mean, I'd probably say, honestly, I'd probably say Baisley. I mean, okay. Poku, he still feels like such more of an idea than a basketball player. Baisley,
I thought he was better than Baisley last night.
See, I actually thought Baisley was good last night. I saw people in the chat saying that they thought he was bad, but like, he played way more within himself last night than he has in the early season. He's still terrible shooting. Like, he missed another three. I think he's one for 16 or something like that for the season.
One of 16. Yeah. Right.
But he seemed to be playing like a much more ball movement style of play compared to how he was playing the first two games.
I thought he did the first 5 minutes.
He had that really nice wraparound pass to J. Rob.
He did. I was just saying that the first 5 minutes were good. Then there were just like, he just showed the flashes early, was what it felt like.
Yeah.
With him. And then it became, and I think, I mean, Mark really tried to win that game last night. He really did. He put in a lineup at the end of the game that like shows that he wanted to try to win. And it was Shea, Dort, Giddey, Kenrich, and Muscala. Like,
yeah.
That's a we're trying to win the game lineup.
Right.
And I don't think anybody was sitting there thinking like, man, they should really put Darius Baisley out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we're just coming from such like different baselines with these two players. Like, I feel like you look at their stat lines, they were almost identical last night. They both shot 3 for 7. You know, like, they both had 4 or 5 rebounds, an assist, a steal. Like, Baze had a block. Like, they're putting up similar numbers. Poku's still getting blown by on almost every defensive play. Like, he's not a good basketball player right now. He has flashes in the same way that Baze has flashes. So, like, I don't see a huge disparity between those two players.
Yeah.
Like, a huge difference.
I just think it's, when we talk about ceilings, though, with these guys, like, wouldn't you say that Poku has a much higher ceiling?
I mean, he probably does, but dude, it's like so theoretical. It's
theoretical with Baisley too.
It is, but I've actually seen Baisley be like a helpful contributor to a good NBA team, and so I have that as an anchor point. Whereas with Poku, I have nothing as an anchor point.
I know, but it was. But the problem with the Baisley thing is it was based solely on the fact that he was hitting threes.
But it wasn't. Like, he was a good defensive player at one point.
Where did that go?
I don't know. I was actually thinking about this. You know how we talked about height watch?
Yeah.
I don't. Is there anyone on the Thunder who would benefit more from growing 2 inches than Darius Baisley? Because I think if he was just taller and weighed like 20 pounds more, and you could legitimately play him at center, it would change everything for him.
Without a doubt.
Because then I wouldn't care as much about the shooting, and his athleticism would just be like such a huge positive at the center position.
The bigger problem to me than height is strength for him.
Well, yeah, he's got to layer up with fat.
He's just got to get fatter.
He's just got to get fat.
He's just not strong enough to hang with even like big fours at this point. And he's still he's still very young too. I think we forget how young Darius is.
He's 21.
He just turned 21.
Yeah.
And he and J Rob are basically the same age. They're just like a couple months apart. So
yeah, you see it when he matches up with someone like Tobias Harris, who literally looks twice the size of Darius.
Twice the size. And like Tobias is a big guy, but he's not one of the guys where like, who are the biggest power forwards in the league? Like, no one's going like, oh, Tobias Harris. You know, like nobody's doing that.
Right.
But that's where J-Rob's got an edge on him. It's like J-Rob's big. Like J-Rob's got, according to Basketball Reference, has 22 pounds on Darius.
Yeah.
You know, and J-Rob will get bigger and stronger because guys that are 21 and stay in the league get bigger and stronger. Like that's just how it goes.
Yeah. I'm just trying to separate my love of Poku aesthetically from what I actually think he's going to be, because he's obviously a blast to watch. Mm-hmm. And I already know that I have this bias against Bazley because there are so many things about his game that I don't like, but are they really that different to me? Like I feel like I'm being way more favorable to Poku every single time, in the same way that I'm being like biased against Bazley. And I think it's just because Poku's like interesting. He's just kind of
very interesting. He's very interesting. He's got some good defensive instincts though. And he's got a lot to work on, obviously. But there's just he's just more fun, period.
He's
a better passer than Bazley.
He is, though. I mean, I do think Baze shows those flashing, the passing flashes every once in a while, like he did last night.
Yeah,
that makes you feel a little bit better. But yeah, I mean, listen, Poku feels like he has a longer runway with this team.
No question.
I mean, we've talked about it. Baze, you know, they picked up his qualifying offer, but like beyond that, you know, what are they going to do with him? That, you know, it feels like they have to make a decision on him very soon. Whereas Poku, even if he went to a second contract, it doesn't feel like you'd have to pay him that much.
You wouldn't have to pay Bazley very much either.
You wouldn't. Yeah, I guess.
So What would you pay him? Like 3 years, $16 million.
Oh, okay. I mean, it honestly doesn't matter. they could pay him like 2 years, $40 million. I don't think it would make a dent in the team.
That's setting expectations. Like
saying, like, asking about contracts for this team that has like nothing committed going forward other than shit.
Yeah, especially if it's like a short deal like that, a 2-year deal.
Yeah,
but that would be wild if they offered something like that.
But and also looking at the prospects for the 2022 draft class, it's much more likely that one of those guys would be directly competing with Baze as opposed to directly competing with Poku, based on what we know about those guys right now.
Yeah, I think that's right. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more Thunder basketball.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back from that quick break. Al, the Thunder got the Lakers tonight. The 2-2 Los Angeles Lakers, who just barely squeaked out a win against the San Antonio Spurs last night in overtime. Got a good Russ game last night. He looked more like Russ than he has in the other three games. So that was positive. You know, he's 15 to 27, 33 points, 10 boards, 8 assists, 3 steals, only 3 turnovers. Like that's about right for Russ.
And the great thing for the Lakers is all they have to do to get that performance going forward, just bench LeBron.
It's easy. Then, just bench LeBron.
And it'll all work
make
out.
Make your choice, Lakers. What are the odds that tonight's the first win that the Thunder get?
I'm putting it at 50-50.
I know. It feels like that. It feels like tonight could be the night.
I mean, I don't want to go like too high because like obviously the Thunder aren't good, but
yeah.
Especially if AD is out, because AD will destroy us, even though he had that like horrific injury that wasn't an injury last night. But if he sits out and it's just the Westbrook show, I mean, Westbrook could put up like 45 points, and I don't really think it would matter. Like, I still think the Thunder could beat this Lakers team because they're super old. They're playing on the second night of a back-to-back. I mean, we're talking about guys who are going to be on this back-to-back, Rondo, Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, like DeAndre Jordan, old dudes on a second night of a back-to-back against a team that they have probably do not care about one iota other than Russ.
Yep.
And meanwhile, the Thunder are a bunch of young guys and they can do, you know, they can play forever. So I could totally see them just like running them to death tonight.
Yeah, I could see them pulling it out tonight. A lot of Austin Reeves last night. Does that excite you?
I mean, I don't know if that's good or bad that you're
30 minutes, 30 minutes
undrafted rookie is already getting 30 minutes this early. It's great for Austin Reeves, boomer, but
boomer. Austin Reeves played more than Josh Giddey last night. More minutes.
Oh my gosh! Fire Dagnall.
Fire Dags.
Fire Dagnall.
Yeah. So if they don't get the win tonight against the Lakers at home, which it does to me, it just feels like just destiny for them to win tonight in OKC. And I think it would be nice for the national pod guys to see them beat the Lakers. Like, oh, they beat Lakers? Like, what? You know?
That's the thing. Like, even I know that, I mean, it's clear by what they're doing that OKC wants to get a good pick in the draft this year. We can all see that. And honestly, I would argue of all the things that they've done, you know, people talk about them sitting Al Horford. They mistakenly talk about them resting Shea, even though we know that was a real injury. I would say that Dagnall's rotations are actually the clearest sign ever that they're tanking. The fact that we don't have a actual rotation like 4 games into the season, we're just kind of like subbing guys in and out. Like that is the more obvious thing to me, that we're not actively trying to win every single game.
Yeah.
That all that said, this organization does not want to lose every game by 30 points like they did to the Houston Rockets. Like, you do not want to get noticed for that. Like, Detroit, as you mentioned, also winless. No one's talking about Detroit. No one. And why? Because they're not embarrassing. They're just fine. They're just normal bad.
Yeah.
You don't want to bring attention to yourself. And for everyone says, like, who cares? Who cares? Like, go look at what happened to the Sixers. Like, the league intervened because it got so bad. Like, there is a limit to this. And that's why that 30-point loss to the Rockets bothered me so much, because you don't need to be that bad, and you don't really want to be that bad, because if you start losing every game by 30 points, this becomes a national news story that's on, like, every NBA podcast. If you're that bad, if you're chasing that 9-win record, that's not good for the franchise. Like, no one on the Thunder wants that, so we should not be celebrating that. In that way, yes, we want to get a good draft pick, but you do not want to get it that way, because that introduces all of these external factors that, like the league could theoretically do something because we saw them do something before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the good news is that they're not that bad.
They're not that bad. Thank God. It would have been brutal.
They just flat out aren't that bad. I don't think a team with a, you know, fourth year player like Shea has ever been this bad. You know, I think they're normal bad. Like they're 20 around 20 wins bad.
Yeah. And I still think, like, I think the Magic, I still believe the Magic will lose more games than them. Like, I think OKC is better than them. Detroit, well, I just have to wait and see what Cade looks like.
Yeah. I think Detroit's got a better roster to win today. I think they have guys that more guys that are fit to win today than OKC does.
They probably do. Beyond that, like, who beyond those three is, like, the next worst team? Oh, Houston. We forgot to mention Houston's going to be terrible.
Yeah, Houston is the fourth. But then after that, that's the thing. After that, like, San Antonio's not that bad. Like, we saw how they looked against the Lakers, and they've got some vets. You know, they've got the thing that the Spurs have that these other teams don't have is, like, a competent center, right? That's going to defend well. He's going to set good screens. He's going to help. Like, that is so helpful for just being not the bottom of the barrel. So I think if Jakob Poeltl stays healthy, I think that's they're not going to be the worst team. And then after that, like, you look at the Northwest Division, the Thunder are the only bad team in that division. Utah, I think the Timberwolves are going to be okay. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but they're going to win 30 games. Nuggets, Trailblazers. And then you look at the Pacific Division, like, nobody's trying to be bad there. Kings, Suns, Clippers, Lakers, Warriors. Okay, great. The Kings may not be the best team, but they're not going to be one of the worst.
Yeah.
Maybe the Pelicans, if they can't get things
Zion
together,
comes back,
could be one of those teams. But yeah, but
that like, we saw what OKC had to do last year to get where they were in the final standings. It does not feel like they're going to need to do anything close to that this year.
Yeah,
to end up around the same amount of wins,
and also fewer. it would really help if they didn't do that again, because people are already saying, like, oh, that's cool that Shea is playing well. They're just going to shut him down again. You know,
right? I know. God, you hear that all the time. It's so annoying.
It is. If they could just win 19 games and Shea plays 75 of those games, then I think you could put to rest all of that crap, you know? And I think that's part of why you want to waive Kemba too.
Yeah.
Is we don't want to get to a point where we can't trade Kemba and then you have to rest him because what, you want to play Trey Mann? Like, okay, like, just go ahead and just get rid of him. That's why I also feel like they just need to get rid of Favors. Like, just, I know he's got 2 years left, but just, like, buy out the 2 years. You're going to have to, you have to use that money anyways, because you have to get to the salary floor. So just pay it out. Let Favors go play for the Heat or for somebody else and just be done with it. You know?
Yeah. I'd be fine with that. That, of course, would, all the pods would be talking about that.
Yeah, but that's one where it's just like, who cares? Like, guys get bought out of their contracts all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. It happens every single year that guys do that. That they want to go somewhere else. And you can't trade them. It happens every year.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
I just don't.
For some reason, OKC just is like an easy. They're a funny target, because, I mean, you look at a team that, like, really tanked, and don't have to pay the price for it at all as the Golden State Warriors. Like, think about the amount of lottery picks that are on that roster right now. And some of them came from tanking. Like, the Warriors didn't go to the bubble because they were the worst team in the NBA that year. And they had some injuries, but do you think they didn't tank? You're freaking kidding yourselves. Like, they tanked that year. They absolutely tanked that season.
Yeah.
They tanked to get Harrison Barnes. Like, that is one of like the best tanking teams who never has to pay the price for it in the national media. Never, ever do they get mentioned as a team that had to pay the price for it.
It's always seen as like, you know, tanking is morally acceptable if you do it in this very specific scenario where, like, so you're a good team and someone gets hurt. Then everyone's fine with it, even though the team is actually having to accelerate, like, what they're doing on the court to make it worse than it would be.
Yes, but how many people actually believe that Shea was hurt last year?
I mean, very few.
And he was hurt. But when Steph got hurt, everybody just accepted that there was no timeline whatsoever.
Right, yeah.
No, and Shea was hurt, but people weren't willing to accept that the timeline was real. But with Curry, no, everybody was just like, yeah, whatever. Lose a billion games.
It's all about
the biases, and like, we just have to accept that. Like, it's people like the Warriors is not anything dissimilar to the road that the Thunder have taken, right? Except for the fact that they have Steph and Draymond, and like,
Why do you think the national media jumps on OKC in a way that they don't for a team like Orlando or like Detroit? Because I just never hear anyone talk about them really in a negative way. It's more just like an acceptance, like, this team is bad because they're supposed to be bad right now. They have a plan. They're trying to add young pieces. Like, they never get talked about in the negative way that OKC attracts, even though they're largely doing the same thing. Like, Orlando wants to get a high pick this year in the same way they wanted to get a high pick last year. Same with the Pistons. I mean, maybe
Orlando traded their best players for picks at the deadline last year.
Yeah.
Just like the Thunder did.
Is it because they're irrelevant? Because no one really cares about them in the first place?
Maybe it's because they don't see a path for Orlando to like be a good team. I don't know. Where it's, you know, with the Thunder, they have a good player in Shea. Like, there are people that are noticing Josh Giddey and that he's good. Like, he's already good. He's 19 and he will get better and he will get stronger. Like, people are noticing that. And I mean, really, honestly, if the Thunder hit in the draft, these next two drafts, if they hit on one, like, they're going to be good. Or if they hit on both, like, that's a really good team. And why would it be bad for a small market to want that? Like, why would that be bad? Like, the alternative path is what? They use their picks to trade for players that are just okay, get them to 31 wins. The Thunder are picking 9th in the draft. They don't get good players. They find themselves in the middle. Like, that's the alternative path, is that they maybe overpay for a free agent, make a couple trades, get some role players. Oh, look, the Thunder look competent. That's great. 32 wins. That is where you just don't want to be at all. Eventually, the Thunder will win around 32 games, but hopefully it's in 2 years and not this year or next year. They're not asking for competence. What they're asking for is incompetence. The incompetent bad teams win 32 games. That's what happens. And that's a problem. That's an absolute problem that national media and people around the league would prefer the Thunder be there, because that is the place where you don't want to be at all. That's getting caught in the middle, picking 9th, 10th in the draft every year. The Kings have missed the playoffs for 16 years. 16. Because they have picked, they've either picked the wrong guys at the top or they're picking 8th or 9th every year. That's how you get caught in the middle, is you pick the wrong guys at the top because you're incompetent. And then you're picking 8th or 9th where you don't get impact players. It is hard to pick an impact player at that spot. It is really, really difficult. So when the national media is saying this is such a disaster, they're saying, one, OKC doesn't have the same options that a team like Golden State does. Golden State had Kevin Durant walk through the door because they were in San Francisco. Nobody's walking through this door in OKC. We've got a nice lake. I like going there to take my wife on a date. But that's not their Lake Hefner. It's nice. You got the nice sunset. See, even Alex, who doesn't live here, is just like, Lake Hefner is not that great. Exactly. This is the response. No one's walking through the door here in OKC. So if the Thunder want to get elite talent again, then they have to build through the draft. There is no other way. You look at the odds, and I tweeted these odds out earlier last week. You look at the odds of getting a player that is a difference maker, like a legit difference maker. I mean, still the odds if you're picking in the top five is like 36% that you get. If you're picking in the top five, the odds that you get an elite player is 36%. It's not good odds. But the odds of trading for and keeping an elite player for more than two seasons, like it's like nothing. You saw what happened with Paul George, and the team wasn't horrible. They made the playoffs, but they weren't good enough, and he wanted out. He wanted gone. You can't keep those guys. And then free agency, if you're a small market and you've wanted an elite player over the past 15 years, 99% chance you're not getting them. 99. So would you want to take your risk on either one of those where the odds of that happening is like 6%? Like, get out of here. Give me the 36% chance. Give me the top five pick, which means you have to be bad. Like, there's got to be some kind of understanding for a lot of people with this. This is, I mean, it's insanity.
Well, and I think where the real argument is, and which I agree with, is people are worried about another process Sixers. Like, they did not like that because that was much different from what the Thunder are doing, as we discussed earlier.
And I would just say, go look at the rosters.
No, I know, but you lose by 30 to Houston and people start having memories of process Sixers in their brain.
The same people that would say that one game doesn't matter will use that game to say that it all matters, it's hypocrisy.
Well, if that game happens in like February, like who cares? But it's the second game of the season and and with everything that happened in the offseason, like, I get why Zach Lowe is suddenly thinking of the 9-73 record after he sees us lose by 30 points. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what people are worried about, because that was anti-competitive in like a way that even I am uncomfortable with, or at least like, I don't want to celebrate it. Like, I'm super pro tank.
They just shot the ball so poorly. They just shot the ball so poorly, to the point where like, I asked Kenrich about it after the game. And Kenrich, you like dropped the "we're human" line on me, which is like, it's like, just like, leave us alone,
Yeah. Like, I am super pro tank. You know that.
I know.
I believe in the logic. I believe in the numbers. I'm still not on board with celebrating it. Like, I don't like that I have to watch a team that has to go through this. Like, I don't enjoy that my team has been forced into a position where the smart move is to actively be bad for multiple seasons. Like, that isn't cool to me, even though, again, I understand all the underlying logic and I believe in it. And I know that this is our best chance to get back to championship contention. But like, that's why I don't enjoy posting like tank gifts. Cause it's like, I don't want to be like this to be my identity. Like, I want to enjoy watching my team and root for these guys getting better first, and just know that it's going to lead to losses in the end, which I do feel that way last year or this year in a way that I didn't last year. Last year, it was like, oh, man, we're actually going to have to do something to if we're going to get in any position to get a top pick. Whereas mm-hmm. this year, I'm not even, like, worried about the tank. Like, it's, like, completely yeah. out of my mind because I've seen how this team is playing. Like, they're going to be bad. But yeah. I guess it's the celebration aspect of the tanking that I still don't feel good about. And I understand yeah. why people, like, you know, it's what else are you going to get excited about?
I think it's more just, like, supporting the idea, supporting the plan, rather than like straight up celebrating, you know, like this is yeah. like just there are still a lot of people that don't understand the plan that are Thunder fans,
right?
That don't get it because it hasn't been presented to them in the right way. And the thought of like relocation, like I think it was after the Houston game that people were all up in arms after the game. Like I had multiple relocation tweets like, oh, they're just going to leave.
Right.
Yeah. And like the argument against that is like 5 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
Like, one, like teams don't relocate. Like it just doesn't happen. Like the Kings would have been gone years ago. Instead, they got a new building. Does everybody know that the Kings got a new building? They haven't been in the playoffs for forever. There are teenagers walking around this earth that have never seen the Kings in the playoffs. It's never happened in their lifetime. And they got it. Not only are they not leaving Sacramento, they got a new building. Okay. So don't think that the Thunder for missing the playoffs for 2 years in a row, that's it. This will only be the second time they've missed the playoffs in a row. And in what, over a decade that they've missed twice in a row? You think they're going to be relocated because they missed the playoffs twice in a row? Like, get a grip. And also, the Thunder are making money. That's like the other, that's like the real big thing is that people see empty seats and they think, wow, the Thunder aren't making any money now. The Thunder will make more money this year than they have in a very, very long time because of the luxury tax dollars that they'll receive and because they're not paying the most of the money from NBA teams that goes out is salary. And the Thunder do not have a lot of salary to pay out compared to other teams. And they will make money for those reasons. So like,
they'll make a pretty penny from Down to Dunk Night.
They're going to make some money on November 15th from us. They're going to make hundreds of dollars.
That could be a huge expense. Cause you've been talking about the Thunder grab bags. If someone makes a half court shot.
Yeah, who knows? It could be gold bars in there. I don't know.
It could be. Well, I think after tonight, because I was actually looking at the point differential, because I feel like that's more accurate in terms of how teams are doing. OKC's last, -18.5 or -18.5. But Orlando's right there, -15.5. They play Charlotte tonight. Detroit is right there, -13. I would bet after tonight, because I'm expecting a big game against these Lakers, who I do not think are good. I would bet we're not last in point differential after tonight.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a close competitive game.
Yeah. I hope so.
Could likely be a win. In fact, 51-49, I'm picking the Thunder tonight.
I kind of feel that way too. It kind of feels that way. I was talking to some people. I was talking to Nick Gallo and some other people about it. And it just feels like it's here. And even I think it was Christo Saltas that asked Shea after the game. It's just a funny question to ask a player because, I mean, like, there's a lot of things you think, but there's most things that you're just, like, not going to ask players. But someone asks, like, how close do you think you are to your first win? Is what he asked him.
Oh, man.
Which is just kind of a funny question to ask a player after a game. Yeah. And Shea just, like, smiled and looked over at, like, where the Zoom screen is in the interview room and just said, we're real close. So if that's any indicator as to how close they are. I think they could very well win tonight. And that's, you know, if you win one out of five games, great. You still really stink.
That's sub 20 wins.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was thinking about last night. Like, even if you win one out of four, that's 20 wins, like 20 and a half wins for the season.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, that's fine. If
they win tonight, you know what? Normal bad.
Normal bad. And that's all I'm asking for. Normal bad. The Pistons were terrible. They had the worst record in the league last year. no one once had any conversation about the Pistons because it was just, they were just the same the entire season.
Yeah.
They're competitive bad.
Yeah. Competitive bad is good. All right. I think I'm done ranting today. Hope you guys enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for so much for listening to the pod. Be sure to retweet the show, share it with friends,
whoever. Hey, did you see what Hoopstock69 said? He said, Andrew laughing about someone asking a weird question when he asked Singler to justify his existence.
I didn't ask him to justify his existence, Hoopstock. Hoopstock. Hoopsock is a needler, man. He's needled you in the past. He's needling me now. He's just trying to get at us, you know.
He's trying to get under our skin, Andrew.
I say, Hoopsock, man. You can just take it easy, bro. It's okay. I can laugh. It's okay to laugh in life. Just let me laugh, bro. Let me laugh a little bit. All right. Talk to you guys again on Friday, where I guess we're talking chips. We'll be talking about chips on Friday.
Ugh,
best chips.
Yeah. I can't believe Taylor. Disgusting.
Taylor's he's a Frito man. Yeah. Just get ready for that. All right. You guys have a great day.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.